The Great Dismal Swamp, which stretches across two southern states, played an important part in our nation's history. Escaped slaves used the area as a hideout for many years. From member station WVTF, Sandy Hausman reports.
The Great Dismal Swamp is a vast wetland in southeastern Virginia and northeastern North Carolina. In George Washington's time, it was a million acres of trees and dark water. Bears, bobcats, snakes, and stinging insects. British settlers who first arrived in 1607 believed the swamp was haunted, but by 1620, some of their slaves may have overcome fear to find freedom here. Today, 112,000 acres remain, and archaeologist Dan Sayers has explored many of them, finding large islands where escaped slaves settled.
When you're walking through 1,000 feet of the briars and the water, you know, the mosquitoes are eating you alive, sweating bullets, and you're almost exhausted, and then suddenly your foot's no longer squishing into peat, but now it's walking on dry ground and crunchy leaves. It blows your mind. You can't imagine people not living there.
He's now written about life on these islands in a new book, A Desolate Place for a Defiant People. He believes 10 generations of escaped slaves lived here, along with Native Americans who'd been driven off their land, and whites who were shunned by mainstream society. In his laboratory at American University, he unwraps several artifacts from a collection of thousands he's found during Great Dismal Swamp digs that began in 2003. There are bits of clay tobacco pipes, nails, and traces of at least a dozen cabins, along with what could have been an arsenal, a place where Sayers found gun flints and lead shot.
Make no mistake about it, these were resistance communities. They weren't going out there because they love swamps. They were going out there because they were living in a very brutal, oppressive world of enslavement and colonialism and all that.
News of these finds is exciting for professional and amateur historians like Eric Shepard, a resident of Suffolk, Virginia, who organizes tours to help African Americans get in touch with their roots.
As our ancestors are calling us to look for them, I think we ought to pick up the spiritual phone and answer the call.
Research led Shepard to a distant relative named Moses Grandy, who left a graphic account of his time in the swamp around 1800. He first went there to dig canals so his master could cut and transport timber. Shepard reads from Grandy's narrative.
The labor there was very severe. The Negroes up to the middle or much deeper in the mud, cutting away roots. The overseer gave the same task to each slave. I have seen him tie up persons and flog them because they were unable to get the previous day's task done.
Grandy was skilled at handling boats, and sometimes his master allowed him to work for others, sharing the money he made moonlighting. Over the years, he saved enough to buy his own freedom. He could have headed north. Instead, he returned to live in the swamp.
Here, among snakes, bears, and panthers, I built myself a little hut and had provisions brought to me. I felt to myself so light that I almost thought I could fly, and in my sleep, I was always dreaming of flying over woods and rivers. Slavery will teach any man to be glad when he gets his freedom.
Such stories and some of the artifacts found by archaeologist Dan Sayers will be on display at the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture when it opens in 2016. For NPR News, I'm Sandy Hausman.